In the name of Jesus,
amen.
And he, falling at his feet, gave thanks to Jesus. Now I have preached a fair amount of Thanksgiving Day sermons, and I have listened to quite many more, and you, many of you, have listened to even more. And I don't know about you, but what I often hear sitting in the pew is often the following outline. Point one, you should be thankful. Point two, you are not thankful, or you are at least not thankful enough. Point three, and conclusion, be thankful. Amen. End of sermon, right? Now, I know that in some ways this is a caricature of Thanksgiving Day sermons, but I think that we know this to be somewhat true to some degree. Thanksgiving Day often seems to be, for the church, to speak about one long guilt trip. And in a way, it's hard not to focus on the nine who did not return to give thanks, than the one who actually did return to give thanks. I mean, the flesh of every pastor is driven by this reality to preach an extended guilt trip on this day about how impossible it is for sinners to give thanks truly and fully. And in some respects, the guilt does hit home, as we are like those on that first day of Pentecost, hearing Peter preach, we're cut to the heart. But when we think about thankfulness, we should remember that it is not something that really can be done in isolation. Thankfulness is best done with others, and when we share things with others, even ourselves. And I think you would agree that this has become quite increasingly difficult as we live more and more isolated lives, where friends and educational institutions and office environments, etc., are becoming virtual. People are now simply names in a long list of contacts in your phones. And phones are answered by an automated machine or a voicemail. And then conversations that we have with one another are governed largely by text, or maybe an emoji here or there, or a snapshot, or maybe even a funny meme. And yet, despite the grand promise of the digital age's promise of a more connected and integrated world, we are living more and more of a disconnected and unintegrated life. We are together less and less and less. So there is naturally a famine of thankfulness. And it's not only that we have squeezed each other out of our lives, but even much more that we have squeezed God and his gathered saints and his holy gifts out of our lives. Certainly, for this, we must realize that we have not received our daily bread with thanksgiving, remembering that it is our Heavenly Father and his goodness and his daily bread that he showers down upon us that supports this body and this life that I am. And for this, we are to be rightly cut to the heart. We are to be called to repentance. But just as we cannot be scared into heaven by the prospect of hell, we can't be guilted into thanksgiving by the bounty that we happen to have on our plate. It is true that many today will sit around a feast of food that is fit for a king and a queen, and that some will give no thought to the fatherly hand that provided it all. And then there will be others that are propelled by a certain sense of guilt to just blurt out or list certain things that they are thankful for, and then proceed with ferocity to feast without giving thanks to the heavenly cook. But to force a heavenwards glance, a religious guilt trip to pray lest you choke on the food that you ate before you prayed because you didn't pray for that food, is equivalent, I dare say, to a lot of civic rants that you are going to hear about the true history of Thanksgiving and how we should feel guilty with every last tasty bite we put into our mouths. And there may be a ring of truth to that as well. But, we cannot confess and repent of things we ourselves did not do. We can mourn them, yes. We can lament that they have happened, yes. We can confess the sins that we have committed in similar ways, yes. But whether it's a religious or civic guilt trip, it does little more to make us feel better about how much more righteous we are than those who don't feel guilty about feeling guilty. And so the irony drips like gravy over the mountain of your mashed potatoes today. Now, today I would encourage you simply to enjoy the blessings of God, the things and the realities that He has given you. Don't number them. That is of the law. Just receive them with thanksgiving. Because a national holiday of thanksgiving cannot drive you to Christian faithfulness. The law cannot create a thankful heart. The law can create a prideful heart. The law can create a despairing heart, but not a thankful heart. We can only truly give thanks when we have been granted faith to see our daily bread for what it is that has been given out by our Heavenly Father's hand. And then in faith, we see each other around us as children of the Heavenly Father, formed by Him in the inward parts of our mother's womb. For we are not merely a name on a list, or a friend on Facebook, or a follower on an Instagram account, or a YouTube sensation individual. We are much more than that. We are all precious children of God. And by extension, we are fleshly gifts one to another by the hand of Him who created all things in heaven and on earth. That's how it was on the road that day between the border of Samaria and Galilee. We hear about a traveler that came and broke the isolation of these 10 lepers. And it wasn't just a traveler, a stranger. It was God in the flesh, come to be with His people. Not a distant God. No, God in the flesh, the very God who stays by my cradle beside me till the morning of my resurrection comes. That He gave of Himself in order that we would have healing and promise eternal life. And a Samaritan, an outsider among the Jews, an outcast because of his leprous malady, received not only the gift of healing, but he received something far greater that we often miss. And that is, he received a family of faith. He received the body of Jesus, the communion of saints. Jesus came to be with him, that he might be with him and with all of God's people. And so there is born in this man's heart thankfulness by way of the gospel. So it is that today and every day that you give thanks to God that He has come to be with you in the flesh, that you enjoy these fleshly gifts of faith and in fervent love towards those who do recognize that these gifts come from their Heavenly Father, but also to those who do not recognize these gifts, but yet still receive them with bountiful hands. For if your leprosy, that is your sin, synonym, has you feeling like an outcast, or perhaps maybe today you are mourning the losses or the decay of this world, or if you are lonely, or maybe you are depressed, if you can't fake with a manufactured smile the holiday happiness that the world is going to expect you to have in the up-and-coming weeks, that's okay. Because you have a table where you can sit or kneel or stand, where there are fellow forgiven lepers, pilgrims that are traveling through the same barren wilderness that you are, with a shared hope and a shared faith. And it's right here in this place. It's set and it's ready for you to eat and to drink, as the ancient Christians would say, the medicine of immortality that cleanses you from all your leprous sin. You see, this is why the church exists. It does not exist to hand out long-winded guilt trips or sedate you with some sort of religious opiate or holiday cheer. The church is literally the bride of Christ, and it is here to proclaim and confess her bridegroom, her risen head, her Lord Jesus Christ, one to another. He is her life, and in Him she will rise again with all of her members, both living and departed in Christ. For like the one cleansed leper, the Samaritan, the church is here for you week after week to return and to give thanks for all of Christ's benefits and all of His healing and all of His precious gifts. But the church is also here for the nine who were cleansed and lost their way. When many countless days had passed and they had forgotten to return thanks for the gifts that they once received but have faded in their hearts and their minds and their memory due to the fears and the cares and the loves of this world. I mean, it's never too late to turn around and give thanks with a grateful heart that your Heavenly Father is good and gracious to you. And don't worry, we'll always leave a light on. It's called the eternal candle. And so we have this Latin phrase, Ibi Christus, Ibi Ecclesia. Where Christ is, there is the church. So where Jesus draws near, there is faith granted. And in the hearing of the word, there is healing, as it was for the lepers. There is healing of body and soul. There is His body and His blood that grants you forgiveness of sins. The church exists for that purpose, to be the dispenser of Christ's blood-bought, crucifixion-securing gifts of forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, and that heavenly city that awaits your residency. This is the main reason why the church exists. This is why we are gathered here today and every day around this altar and this pulpit and this lectern and this place. But we also have another Latin phrase that's like it. Ibi caritas et amor Deus ibi est, which is to say, where charity is true, God is there. Charity. The charity that we give to others, the gifts that we give to others, and the thankfulness that we have in our heart in receiving those gifts and the thanks we have upon our lips is not because there is some sort of reciprocal rule that if you give me a gift, I must thank you for the gift, though it is nice to do so. It's literally a byproduct of the love and the charity that you have already been given and received by your Heavenly Father. Thankfulness is never an isolated thing, but a shared thing. Not only between the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but between the relationship of Jesus and His people and His body, the church. It's bearing, you see, before the world the sacrificial love of Christ, the image of God before the face of all fellow creatures of God. It's simply giving with a thankful heart and a thankful hand what you have simply received by a penitent confession and heart. And that is mercy and that is love. So week in and week out, to lepers that no man could number, the Father keeps on giving out His harvest that is sown in His Son's cross and given and raised by and raised in eternal life in Him who lives and reigns in endless day. Day after day, Christ gives both daily bread and eternal bread, not because we have been so thankful enough, but because that is His true nature as God. God is one who gives, and then He gives some more, and then He gives some more, and then He keeps on giving, and He doesn't stop. He gives gifts to enlighten your eyes that they might have faith, to rejoice in the rescue of not only your own outcast nature, but the outcast nature of all people. And to give thanks in the midst of happiness and help, but also to give thanks in the midst of sorrow and weaknesses. He gives you gifts to gladden your heart, whether it's in the food or the drink that you eat, in the family and the friends that you enjoy. But He also, don't forget, He gives you a whole entire congregation of sinners to lament and confess your sins together, and to repent together, and to rejoice and believe and find hope together, and to bear one another's burdens together as Christ has borne all of our burdens in His body. And in that, does He not give us more than enough to do each day of our lives for the good of those whom pass along our earthly way, which we call our neighbor? Isn't that enough? Sure, it's enough. It's more than enough. Enough for this life until He comes and He brings His harvest home. In a way, when you think about it, the celebration of Thanksgiving bleeds nicely into Advent. For God, as you know, will soon advent Himself towards us. That is, He will come in His flesh for us, just as He did for the outcast lepers. He comes to us and He heals us in body and soul, and then He shall bring us into that great promised land that He foretold to the people of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, and which He makes for us in a renewed sense in the new heavens and the new earth. He will not leave us as orphans, not a single one. But He will bring us, children of the Heavenly Father, sojourners in this barren wilderness, to our true home and a never-ending Eucharistic Thanksgiving feast. For all of that and all the things that we often do not give thanks for, our Heavenly Father showers down upon us. We give thanks, but not out of compulsion, but having now received such gifts. Our lips are opened with mouths of praise for what God indeed has given to us by way of His Son and in His Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Amen.